Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 49. Psalm 49 this morning. Thank you, Anna, for that special music this morning. I trust you have enjoyed worshiping this morning through music. Wonderful truths we sung about. The Lord is the King, and yet He loves each of us individually. He loves us so much, and He is always faithful through every trial. Great truths here through the music this morning. Thank you for that, all those that had a part in the music program. Psalm 49 this morning. Looking forward here to the opportunity to preach this morning. And this is kind of an unusual psalm. I've never preached from this psalm. Excited to study this here this morning. And so what I want to do, I want to go ahead and read this psalm as we get started. It's 20 verses, so hang with me, okay? It's a little longer, but I think it'll be helpful to us to set the stage here by reading this. Let me just say, this psalm's a little different. Most psalms are dealing with the subject of praise or worship to God. This one is more teaching in nature, all right? So imagine this. These are psalms. These are songs that are written down for us. So it's kind of different to imagine this as a song. But just keep that in mind as we read through here. And then we will study this here this morning. So Psalm 49. The psalmist says, "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. In the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about?" So just a pause here as we start this. He's getting everyone's attention. Hey, listen up. Listen up, everyone. Hey, rich and poor, low and high, listen to what I have to say. I'm going to impart some wisdom here. And let's notice here what he says. Look with me here, verse 6. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings." Selah. "Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Selah. "Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, and when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee, when thou doest well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." Interesting psalm here we're going to look at here this morning. But I'm excited. I think this will be an encouragement to us as we look at this here, as we work our way through this. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into this. And Father, we thank you for the privilege we have today to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Him, it's not in ourselves. And Lord, so thankful we can worship you today and recognize you as the King, as our Savior, as our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, you are faithful. We praise you for that. And as we look into your word today, I pray that I would be able to accurately communicate the message from this psalm. I pray that our hearts would be challenged and encouraged, and our faith would be strengthened, that we would live our lives for your glory and live for eternity. Just bless our time now together. May your Spirit work in our hearts. Use me as your vessel now. In Jesus' name, amen. This summer, we had the opportunity to do a little traveling. Seems like us and the rest of the world is traveling this summer. If you've been out and about much, the roads are busy. Everywhere you go, the hotels are full. I was talking with some folks this week. It's like finding a hotel room is not an easy task this summer. Everyone, after the year of being locked up, everyone wants to go somewhere. And so it's just an interesting time to travel. We're at the stage of life where it seems like we are chasing our kids around all summer. Some of you may understand that. Seems like they are on the go and we are just trying to keep up with them. We're catching up with family. Charity got back from the mission trip last week. Lena got back from camp. We have a couple weddings in our family. A couple cousins there getting married. And so a couple of my nieces are getting married this year. We've had wedding showers. We have just been on the go all summer. My wife is just so happy to be home here for a little while. And so that's kind of where we have been. But earlier this summer, we had the privilege to travel out to Indiana. And I grew up in Indiana. My parents are still there. And so we had the privilege to go back there. And my daughter, Charity, for those who don't know her, she's going to be a senior this year. We have some friends back where we used to live in South Bend that own a farm, a big petting zoo, corn maze, this type of thing, huge operation. And they said, is there any way Charity could come and work on the farm for a week? And so we were able to work it out this summer that she could go work on the farm. So we got to go back to South Bend and visit some friends that we don't get to see very often. And it was such a special time just to see our former neighbors, our folks we used to go to church with. My wife posted on Facebook, hey, we're going to be in South Bend for this afternoon. If anyone has any time, stop by the farm. We'd love to see you. And it was like a big reunion there. It was so fun to see everyone. It was so special. We got to spend time with my parents. And it is hard to believe. It is shocking to me. My parents are both 80 years old as of last week. My mom is 82. My dad turned 80 last week. It's like, where has the time gone? But it's so special. We had the opportunity to be with them or see them since Thanksgiving. So we were thankful to have a week there visiting my parents as well. You know, what else happened? My pastor growing up, my pastor the first 16 to 18 years of my life, his wife passed away the week we were going to go to Indiana. And so that was just such a blessing, the timing of this. She was 94 years old, godly woman. My pastor is still alive. He was 96 years old now. And so just God blessed them with many years of health and a good life, and just so appreciate their faithfulness. But because of that, I was able to attend the funeral. My wife and I were able to go to the funeral for her. And their son was one of my good friends growing up. In fact, when we go back and visit my parents, it seems like every time a couple of us hook up, we go out for breakfast together. Our families, and he is one of them. So we had the chance to be at the funeral there. So that was a special time. At the funeral, I saw folks I had not seen in over 20 years. Many, many folks, because my parents changed churches. The church there kind of changed then, and my parents changed churches. So it was like a great reunion. I saw many of my former teachers, my English teacher, my math teacher from high school. That was neat to see them, my coach. So it was kind of like a journey to my past. I got to see a young girl that was graduated with me in high school. We had not seen each other in over 25 years. She lives in Texas. But our families used to do a lot of things together, and she and her daughter came over and visited with my wife and I just to catch up, and it was so fun. But then later in the week, right before we left Indiana, my friend whose mom passed away, we talked. And I said, hey, you want to go to the cemetery? You want to show me, you know, where your mom is buried? Because we did not go to the cemetery. And he really wanted to. And we took that opportunity, and we took a walk in the cemetery. It was a beautiful evening. It was about 75 degrees, sunny. It was just a beautiful evening. But you know, I hadn't walked through a cemetery in quite a while. You know, I grew up in the town of Auburn, Indiana. We used to mow. I used to work for a mowing and landscaping company. We used to mow a couple cemeteries. And it was always interesting, you know, as you'd be mowing and trimming along just to see the different grave markers. Some of them really old. But this visit was a little different because as we walked through the cemetery, you know, it was amazing. Small town. The town I grew up in was about 12,000 people, so much smaller than this area. And as we were walking along there, he showed me where his mom was buried. Right down the way, I noticed, oh, you know what? There, this gentleman was my 8th grade Sunday school teacher, and he was buried there. And we walked a little further. Oh, here's a gentleman that coached Little League basketball when I started playing basketball in about the 4th grade. He was buried there. You know, we walked a little further. We saw the man's grave site there where I bought. He sold me my wife's engagement ring, Mr. Carball. He owned Carball Jewelers. And so that was interesting to see where he was buried. My child evangelism teacher from when I was really small. She was one of my Sunday school teachers when I was so small. We saw her gravesite. We saw the gravesite of my best friend in high school. His mom passed away about 6 years ago. They were our neighbors, a godly woman. And she passed away about 6 years ago from cancer. We saw her gravestone there. It was just an incredible time reminiscing there in the cemetery. Believe it or not, I saw the tombstone of a young man I played Little League with. He had already passed away. I saw a tombstone of someone I went to school with. I did not know that this young man had died, and he passed away a few years ago. It was quite a sobering time. It really, the whole trip to Indiana, we had a great trip. I am so thankful we had a great trip, but it was a moving trip for me. It really moved me spiritually, emotionally. I'm so thankful we had a good trip. But you know, that visit, that walk through the cemetery, it really made me think about reality. There's an interesting verse in Scripture. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says this, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart." You know, give me a choice. Would I rather go to a funeral or to a party? No doubt, I'm going to choose the party any day. I would much rather go to the house of feasting, right? But you know what? It's good for us every once in a while to really take time and think about what life is all about. A dose of reality. And in Psalm 49, what we have, this psalm is a dose of reality. There are three realities we want to look at here this morning. And we'll look at these three pretty quickly. And then we want to make application based upon those realities. So look with me here, Psalm 49, the first reality we want to look at. And that is the reality of sin and the curse of sin. Look with me in verse 6. He says, "Hey, everyone, listen up. Whether you're low or high, whether you're rich or poor, listen up." He says this, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." Why? Ultimately, what is going to happen? As we read in verse 14, "Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them." Wow, that's a sobering thought. But the reality of sin, as we see, none of us can redeem ourselves. We all have a problem with sin. Unfortunately, when I was born as a sinner because of Adam and Eve, because of Adam's sin. Romans 5:12 tells us this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We are sinners. We are headed on a one-way course. And even though we don't like to think about it, unless the Lord comes first, someday I'm going to die. We all have a birthday. We have a day we celebrate our birthday. Well, guess what? Just like I have a birthday, there's going to be a day that I'm going to take my last breath here on earth, either through the Lord's return or through death. Okay, so this is reality that is talked about here. And the truth is that none of us can redeem our own soul. No matter how good I am, no matter how much money I give, I cannot be good enough. I cannot pay enough. I cannot go to church enough to redeem my own soul. This is reality. It's part of the reality of sin and the curse. And this is how we're like animals, as it says in verse 14. How is man like an animal? Well, animals die. We're going to die. Now, we're different in that we have a soul. But just like we learn through our pets, death is real. And death is real for us. That is reality. You say, man, this is a discouraging message here this morning. Don't worry, it gets much better though, okay? But first here, there's the reality of sin and the curse. But look with me. The second reality we see a little later. Look with me in verse 11. Their inward thought is this, that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. We don't come out and say it, but too many times we live as if life's going to just go on. We don't always like to face reality, right? In school, being a school administrator, I deal with students on a regular basis. Sometimes students don't always like to face reality that, hey, the report card is coming at the end. You need to get a little busy now. You need to study. Reality is that quarter's going to end, that semester's going to end, that year's going to end, and you are going to be graded for your performance, for what you've learned. That is reality. But sometimes students live as if there's no reality. They don't do their homework. They don't study for quizzes, tests. They don't listen in class. But either way they live, reality is coming. And the truth of the matter is, this world doesn't like to live as if reality is coming. Their inward thought is that their houses will continue. It's interesting how we have different songs about tomorrow. You think of Annie, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar. The sun's going to come out tomorrow. Well, be careful. We are not promised tomorrow. Even Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Remember the song, There's Always Tomorrow? I won't try to sing it for you. Yes, no amens to that. Anyway. But you know what? We are not guaranteed tomorrow. I have a number of cousins. My dad came from a large family. Do you know I have three cousins who have already passed away? Two of them passed away at the age of 16 through accidents. One of them passed away at the age of 38. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. That is reality. Okay, so the second reality, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We need to be careful. We can be deceived into thinking our houses are going to continue, but that is not the case. Don't be deceived. But hey, the third reality is where it starts to get exciting. Look with me, down in verse 15. This is great. This is the good news. Notice this. Verse 15, but, here's the transition. This reminds me of the but. If you know Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about how hopeless we were, but then it talks about but God. And it's the same here. Look at this, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Look at this. It's not but God might. Or I sure hope God does this. Notice what it says. But God will redeem my soul. Hey, when we acknowledge our sin and when we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a confidence We have a hope, not a hope that I hope so, but a hope that is a confidence that God will redeem my soul someday. You know, the fact I went to this funeral a few weeks ago, it was really a glorious time of rejoicing. You know, my heart was stirred. We had the funeral here for Mrs. Holt a few weeks ago. What a glorious time of rejoicing. Sure, it's sad to say goodbye to folks, but they have it so much better than we do. They are with the Lord. This is reality. God will redeem our souls. He will resurrect us. It's reason for rejoice. We have so much to look forward to. You think about it. What we have to look forward to is better than any summer vacation. It's better than any party we can go to. It's better than anything money can buy us here on earth. It's better than spending time with family here on earth. We love to spend time with our families, but we always have to say goodbye. It's a good thing we say goodbye. If we stuck around too long, they'd want us to say goodbye, right? But can you imagine spending time with family in heaven with no sin nature removed from the curse of sin? It'll be wonderful to spend time with God Himself. What an exciting thing. You see, this psalm is about reality. Reality of the sin and the curse. Reality that we cannot purchase our way. We like to think we're okay. We can't do enough good works. Reality is we are going to meet our Maker one day. But the reality is that God has paid the price through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will redeem our souls if we know Him as our Savior. This is reality. So there is reason to rejoice. Hey, we need to be thankful today. Thankful for what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that I had the opportunity to learn of Christ from an early age. There is reason to rejoice. You know, as I was walking down and I saw these folks at this funeral and walking through this cemetery, folks that have invested in my life, I was so thankful. You see, it moved me, but it really moved me to thankfulness. It was interesting to see some of the different tombstones. I saw the tombstone of my former pastor and his wife. They already had their tombstone picked out, so it was already in place. It was about this high, about this wide. The tombstone was a Bible. It was really cool. It looked like a regular tombstone, but when you got up close, you know, the thickness, it had like covers of a book. It said Holy Bible on the side, and they had a wonderful poem on there about God's Word. As we walked down the aisle, I saw my best friend's mom, and on her tombstone, John 14:1-6. Had Bible verses right on the tombstone. As we continued on, it was so exciting to see the hope that these folks have, the confidence to see these folks that have invested in me from many years back, to be reacquainted with my teachers, to spend time with my parents who are in their 80s now, but they are faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're on outreach faithfully. I am so thankful for my parents. They are such good examples of folks that are not living for the things of this earth, but living for eternity. It moved me to thankfulness. The reality of our hope because of the work of Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful. This reality gives purpose. It gives a reason to live. You know, apart from verse 15, this would be a depressing psalm. But because of 15, verse 15, God makes all the difference, and He makes all the difference in our lives today. So these are the three realities we wanted to look at today. So let's move on now. Okay, in light of these realities, here we come to the application. So what is my responsibility and what is your responsibility today? Because this is reality. Okay, We are progressing forward in life. We are only here for a limited time. We cannot redeem ourselves. Our only hope is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is our responsibility? Well, I think it's safe to say that all of us have good intentions. We mean well. But we better make sure we get around to doing what is important. How about you this past week? Okay, let's think about this. In light of reality, when we really step back, God tells us it's better to go to the house of the mourning, so we consider the end. How are we doing investment-wise? You know, a lot of people track their investments, follow the stock market. Oh, the stock market's booming. My investments are doing great. What about our investment for eternity? Are we tracking our investments? We mean well. We hope well. But think about it. We may have the best intentions, but what is reality? How am I spending my minutes? How am I spending my hours, my days, my weeks? Think about this last week. How much did I do this last week for eternity? Think about this. The time you spent, the time I spent last week, how much of that is going to last forever? What kind of an impact is that going to make? You know, as we walked through the cemetery, we walked through the one section, then we walked over kind of to the next section, but you know what? I didn't know anyone from there. You know why? Because those graves were a lot older. Those folks had been there a while. You know, and you kind of think through, I don't know these folks, but you wonder, what was this guy like? Or what was this lady like? You wonder, did they know Christ as their Savior? What kind of a mom was this person? What kind of a dad? What kind of an impact did this person leave behind? So our time on earth is so limited. What is our investment? What is our responsibility? Look with me. Verse 10, we see that the wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish or the stupid person perishes. And they leave their wealth to others. You know what? At the moment of death, both the poor and the rich are naked and empty-handed before God. Only the riches we have at that time, the only riches we have at that time are those we have already invested in our internal heritage. Catch this quote. Please catch this. At the time of death, every one of us will wish we invested less on this earth where we must leave it and more in heaven where we will retain it forever. That's a sobering thought. You know, over the last 2 weeks, I've been doing a lot of evaluating in a different way. As the administrator of the school, I've been evaluating our COVID plan for the coming year. I was waiting on the governor. The governor was very late to come out with what his thoughts were regarding this. He did a week ago Thursday. And if you've paid any attention to the news, it's amazing all that's been put forth over the last week. I know many of you now are wearing masks again to work, and so much has changed, right? It's crazy, all the changes that are taking place. And so trying to evaluate, okay, what is best for our school, what is best, we want to keep everyone healthy, we want kids to develop, though, we want teachers to be successful in teaching. So we have been looking at each thing, okay, what are the recommendations, what is the news saying, What are the statistics saying? You know, you evaluate all these different areas. And we want to make wise choices to protect our staff, to protect our students. Been working through this over the last couple of weeks. A lot of evaluating. You know what? As Christians, as believers, or unbelievers here today, we need to do some evaluating. We need to step back and look at things. Okay, what about the moment I die? How much am I going to take with me? How much am I going to leave behind? You may have heard evangelist Tom Farrell passed away earlier this week. He went home to be with the Lord. He had been battling cancer, brain cancer. I believe his funeral is next Saturday, but he is with the Lord today. You know, when I heard that, Tom Farrell was probably one of the most avid soul winners that I know of. God tells us in Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. Think of the rewards he took with him. You know, we have the same opportunity. Let's evaluate today. Let's think through five quick areas here, and then we'll be finished. You know, maybe the first case, five different cases here. Maybe you have been sold out for God. That's how you've been living your life. Investing for eternity. Let me encourage you, keep it up. You will not regret it. Hey, let's stay on fire. This world wants to lull us to sleep. It's so easy living in the physical to fall into the world's thinking. Hey, let's stay focused. I want to encourage you, be strong to the end. You will not regret it. So that's the first case. The second case is this. Maybe you haven't been so busy serving the Lord. Maybe you've been busy with life, with other priorities. Busy with the things of this earth. Busy supporting your family. Building your retirement. Building a bigger house. Your career. Climbing the corporate ladder. Let me challenge you today. Hey, think about it. What are all those things going to matter in the years to come? You're going to leave your wealth to someone else. Let me challenge you, get involved. Make a change of direction, a change of time, a change of investment. Get busy serving the Lord today. Get involved. Start today. Do business with God today. Repent and turn and set a new course. My wife and I had some friends back in Indiana. They were a few years older than us. He was a car salesman, a very successful car salesman. But you know, about in his age 45 to 50, kind of in those middle years, God spoke to him and he got busy about serving the Lord. And what a change in their lives. They started working with the youth group. They started investing in so many areas in the church, serving the Lord. All of a sudden, this guy became the happiest guy. They were so much happier when they got serving. Laying up treasure for eternity. You could see the joy of the Lord when he started living for eternal things. What an example. Hey, it's not too late. You may say, I'm retired. It's too late. No, it's not. Let's take advantage of the time God gives us. Let's get busy. How about our 40K project Pastor Kyle mentioned this morning there? Any of us can hand out a few tracts a week. Hey, just get a tract. Hey, could I share something with you here today? When you get a chance, would you read this? Hey, it takes just a few seconds. We can do that. We have opportunities to serve in the church here. Get involved. Invest for eternity. Change our direction. So that's the second case. The third case. Maybe you were once busy for Christ and for eternity. But you know what? We've been drawn away by things. By the busyness of life, by the things of this world. Isn't it so easy to drift? My dad and I used to do a lot of fishing. And one of the best times is right before dark. When you're going along shore and you're casting in close to shore, the bass are usually feeding. And we caught a lot of good fish like that. But you know one thing, when you're rowing the boat, just kind of going along the shore, as it gets towards evening, the breeze tends to come out of the woods and it pushes you out to the middle. And my dad would always be in the rowing seat. I always have the back seat of the boat. And it's like, I couldn't throw it in close to shore where I wanted to get it so I could catch fish. And I'm like, Dad, we're drifting here. Can we get a little closer into shore? It just naturally happens. You know what? Living in this world, amongst the worldly philosophy, it's so easy to drift. It's so easy to get away from where we once were. Maybe we were once actively serving, busy teaching and involved with this and that on outreach. And it's easy to drift away. Think about this. Think about this passage and how much of our news and our politics and our choices and our lives revolve around money. When money is just a tool, we're going to leave it behind. Or maybe it's the desire for comfort or ease. Doesn't our flesh just crave that? I like to be comfortable. I like ease. But you know what? God has so much more for us than just a life of ease. Let's take stock. You know, the fourth situation, maybe you've been hurt or discouraged. Maybe you used to be faithful. You used to be heavily involved, but someone let you down. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get hurt. You know what? If we are involved in ministry, if we're in dealing with people, there will be hurts. There will be disappointments along the way. I can guarantee it. But let's have our eyes on the Savior. Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look what He did for us, and let's keep moving forward. Don't waste the days and the years of life because of discouragement, because of frustration, because of hurts. And finally, one last consideration. How about dealing with COVID? How about the fear of COVID? Our world is gripped with fear today. And I'm not saying be stupid about things. But coming out of this pandemic, you know, so much has changed. It's interesting, as I've traveled this summer, we were in church in Pennsylvania 1 week. My niece got married there. We were in church in Indiana 1 week. We were in church out in Chincoteague 1 week. In all three of those places where we traveled this year, in every case, in talking with folks, they said, you know, this pandemic has been hard on folks spiritually. We have folks who have not returned to church yet. People, their focus has changed. Their focus towards lost souls has changed. This pandemic has been hard on people spiritually. Folks, we need to get active. Let's make sure we have a healthy perspective here. People need the gospel more than ever. People have greater needs than ever. People are struggling coming out of this pandemic. Some people have been locked up the whole time. They haven't had interaction. They're struggling socially. They're struggling emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Folks, the needs are there. But it's a different time. I know you approach someone, you go to be friendly to someone in the store, and they're like, shy away. They look at you like you have the plague. Just to be friendly. It's a different time. But folks, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful in serving the Lord. Let's be faithful in going forward. God doesn't want us to live by fear. He wants us to live by faith. And maybe this is an area where, you know, I've been gripped with fear. I've kind of drawn in. You know, we were home for a while. It was kind of nice being home for a while. Kind of nice having church in our pajamas, right? Sleeping in. Kind of nice not having to go out, just kind of settling in. But folks, we've got a job to do. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Let's not lose sight of reality. That this world is temporal. But we are living for eternity. So this is a good time to check up on our investments. How are we doing? How are our investments doing? On earth and for eternity. You know, on earth, we're going to leave it. But eternal investments, we're going to take with us. Where are you investing the most? You know, it's one thing to take stock. It's another thing to take action. So as we evaluate things, my hope and prayer, let's take a look. You know, evaluating gives reason for rejoicing in our Savior, rejoicing in our hope. But let's evaluate, what am I going to take with me? What kind of treasure am I laying up? both rich and poor, high and low. He says, listen up here today, young and old. It doesn't matter. We all have to evaluate. Let's bow our heads here as we close.